Well, for a Christian, living in Jesus Christ, living connected to Jesus Christ, is something we should all want to do. And the Bible tells us in this statement, if you abide in me, and that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the benefits and the impact and the results of abiding in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the requirement of abiding in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand this one truth. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, talking about us. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And we need to understand this is the last of those if-then statements that we're going to look at. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. That is a fact. It is a causal relationship that exists in Scripture. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. And you know, people hear that statement, they go, oh, okay, I can do all kinds of things. But without him, we can do nothing good. We can do nothing of lasting value. We can do nothing that makes a godly difference. And that's kind of a hard realization for people to understand. We can do all kinds of religious works. We can do all kinds of good deeds for the church. We can do all kinds of good deeds out in the community. But if they are not driven by God, if they are not motivated by the relationship that we have because we abide in Him and He abides in us, then they are no good. So that's what I want to talk about today. Turn to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Stand if you will. And we're going to focus on what it means to abide in Him and what this fruit that Jesus is talking about really means. You know, back in the day that Jesus was speaking this parable or this analogy, people knew exactly what a grapevine looked like. So you guys will see pictures of grapes today. I tried to get a picture of the branch and the vine. And you know how these vines work. The vine is in the ground. It draws the nutrients up, right? It draws the nutrients up throughout the vine, distributes them through all the branches, and ultimately results in the fruit that hangs and is produced. But it has to come through the vine itself. And that is the point that Jesus is talking about today. So let's read John 15, 1 through 8. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. You can be seated. So you understand the way the grapevine works. You understand the way the plant works. And here in this, Jesus tells us in verse 1 that He is the true vine. He's the part that's planted. He's the part that's rooted. He's the part that we are going to draw our sustenance, our nutrition from, our power from. You know, if you cut off the grapevine, the branches will wither and die. The fruit won't be produced. But he says here that I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. So my Father, God, is the one who's going to take care of that plant. He's going to be the one that planted Jesus right where he wanted him. He's going to be the one that grows us from that vine into the branches. He's going to be the one responsible for producing that fruit. He's going to be the one that the fruit is there to glorify. You know, the Bible is full of stories about these vineyards. And it's full of stories about the vineyard owners who come seeking fruit, right? And a lot of times they would come seeking fruit and they would not find any. And they would cut down the trees. So the question here is, if you are abiding in Him and He is abiding in you, is there fruit? Is there heavenly fruit, spiritual fruit in your life? This is a test. It really is. This is one of the ways Jesus tells us, if you look in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so that it can bear more fruit. So Jesus here says there's two kinds of people, fruit bearers and non-fruit bearers. Turn over to Matthew 13, if you will. This is the parable of the soils. Jesus talks about the word falling on different kinds of soil. We're going to be reading in verse, we'll say, verse 18 we'll start. Matthew 13, verse 18. He says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, if you hear the word and if it takes root in your life, if you abide in Him, you will bear fruit. It is not a question of, will a Christian bear fruit? The question is, how much fruit will a Christian bear? You see the difference? So when you look at your life, the question is, am I bearing godly fruit? We're going to see in a minute that there are two kinds of fruit. There are spiritual or godly fruit, and there is the old fleshly fruit, hard to say that, fleshly fruit that we bore before we became Christians. So let's break this down a little bit. What does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? That word actually literally means to live with. So is Jesus Christ living with us, and are we living with Him? Think about the people that you live with. Are you guys close? I would hope so. Do you spend time with each other? I would hope so. Think about the relationship that you have with the people that you live with day in, day out, hour by hour. That is the kind of relationship that Jesus Christ is saying, I want to have with you, and that is the only way that you will be able to produce fruit and glorify my Father, is if we have this relationship. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So think about how that would be. You know, we take our lives, we sort of divorce our spiritual lives from our everyday lives, but we don't need to do that when we think about what does it mean to abide. Do I spend time with God? Do I talk to God as much as I talk to my spouse? Do I talk to God as much as I talk to people on Facebook or InstaChat or whatever the new thing is? Do I do that? Do I spend time thinking about Him? Do I listen to Him when He tells me what He wants me to do? Do I pray? Do I read the Bible? Do I meditate? Those kind of things are what it takes to abide with somebody. You can't abide, make your home with somebody if you don't know them. You can't abide with somebody if you don't understand them. Sometimes we have difficulty with that, but God says, ask me, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to help you to understand. And Jesus says, This is the key relationship, abiding in me. And it means abiding forever in Him, because Jesus said, when the Father sends me one, truly sends me one, I will in no way cast him out, and I will keep him until that day. Right? So when we abide, when we have that relationship with Him, He says, you're going to honor me. You're going to honor my Father because you're going to produce the fruit. Now, go back to the explanation of the vine, the branch, and the fruit. What actually produces the fruit? Is it the branch? No. No. You think about how those nutrients come up. They come up through the vine. The branch is just a conduit to get the nutrients from the vine to the fruit. Right? So if the vine is Jesus, that makes us, who are the branches, just a conduit for who? For Him, for Jesus Christ. We are simply charged in this scripture, letting Him live through us. That's why we sang that song. Because He lives, I can do whatever He wants me to do. I can face tomorrow without fear. I can face this afternoon without worry. Whatever it may be in your life that's coming up, you can do it because Jesus is living through you. When you're called to do some work, to produce some fruit from God, you can't do it yourself. If God's not in it, it will be the most exhausting, painstaking thing you've ever done. But if God is in it, if He is the one that is making that sap flow through you out to this fruit, you won't even know it. You'll have energy you didn't think you had. You'll be able to not take a nap this afternoon, maybe. You know? That's the way He is, because He empowers us. So think about that. What it takes to abide. And the question I ask you today is, are you abiding in Him? Are you living that kind of relationship with Him? It doesn't mean just coming to church on Sunday mornings. It doesn't mean coming on Wednesday night. In fact, it doesn't mean coming to church at all. What it means is, are you in that close of a relationship with Him that you listen to Him, you talk to Him, you do all kinds of things with Him, and you do all for His glory? In work, in play, in church, in the community, it's all over the place. That's His challenge. That's what Jesus is asking. So you see that thing. And then the other thing that we got to focus on is this fruit. So what is this fruit? Y'all have heard the fruits of the Spirit, right? That is one of the kinds of fruits. It talks about the character and the conduct of our lives when we live in Jesus Christ. Because He wants His Father to be glorified. He wants God to be glorified through what we do on this planet. And the only way that that works is if we do, A, godly works, and then B, we give God the credit. We need to be giving Him the credit for all of our successes. We need to be giving Him the credit for our failures when we grow from them. We need to be talking about God being in each and every part of our lives. So the fruit of the Spirit, are these in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians. Jesus is also talking about the fruit of our service to others and the fruit of our witness. Anything that we do that brings glory to God, that's a fruit. Well, what if you don't have a lot of conversions notched in your belt? That's okay. Maybe that's not your fruit for today. But witnessing to somebody is your fruit for today. Producing love to somebody who doesn't know it is your fruit for today. Being gentle, being self-controlled, being patient with other people, that may be your fruit for today. And you know what? The more you look at these fruits of the Spirit, we went through these on Wednesday night, they are not humanly possible. When you really understand what those words mean, we understand they're not humanly possible. We can't do it in our own power. And that's the very point Jesus is making. So what are the fruits of the flesh? Galatians tells us that too. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Idolatry, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Those are the things that we used to do when we were the old man, We weren't abiding with Christ. When you become a child of Christ, when you have put your faith in Him, and when you decide, I'm going to live through Him, and I'm going to let Him live through me, those things should disappear. Those things are not godlike. That's what Paul is saying. So those things are things that if we do things in our own power, if we try to do our own works, if we try to do our own good deeds, those are going to be produced. Those are the wrong kind of fruit, folks. The kind of fruit that we're supposed to produce is the fruit of the Spirit. So our role is simply to remain in Christ and allow Him to produce His fruit through us. Now, you guys got all that? So we've got the picture of the way this vine works. We got a picture of how the branch works. We know how the fruit is produced. We know who's tending the garden. We know who the vine is. But then Jesus is going to tell us a little bit about how the husbandryman works, how the farmer, the vineyard keeper works. Some of this can be kind of scary, but I want you to turn, look at verse 2 again. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. So this is the first point. Unfruitful branches are taken away. Now the way this is written, Jesus is talking about a branch that looks like it's attached, but it just doesn't bear fruit. You'll see in verse 6, He's talking about somebody who does not abide in Him. So this is talking about those same kind of people that Jesus talked about in Matthew 13. Those people who have taken the word in, they've heard it, maybe they've accepted it with joy and they've started down their path, but they're not rooted. They're not abiding in Jesus Christ. Those of you that garden, those of you that would understand this analogy the best, why do you take away unfruitful branches? To help those that are fruitful. You take away the unfruitful branches to clear room for the production of more fruit. You take away unfruitful branches to allow growth of the healthy branches. You know, we talk a lot about deceiving ourselves. We talk a lot about those verses that say we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, you will, if you are a child of mine, you will produce fruit. If you're superficially attached, if you're growing up on those soils or you're growing up in those thorny areas, you're not going to produce fruit. Because you're not grounded. You're not drawing your nutrition. You're not drawing your life from me. You're not drawing the life that should be coursing through you from the vine. And He says, if you don't do that, you may look like you're attached, but when the husbandryman comes, when the vine dresser comes, and it's time to work on that vine to produce more fruit, He's going to snip that branch. He's going to take it away. That is a warning. It's a warning for us not to play church. It's a warning for us not to play at our relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we abide or don't we? Do we produce fruit or don't we? Do we produce godly fruit or don't we? Simple questions. He's challenging these people and He's challenging us to ask these same questions. In verse 2, He also says, "And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes." Now, a lot of people don't like this one because if you're a fruit-producing branch, He's going to prune you. What's the purpose of pruning? To allow for the growth of more fruit. So what He's talking about here is God is going to prune us of those attitudes, those conducts, those things in our lives that do not promote the production of godly fruit. He's going to work on our attitudes. He's going to work on our thoughts. He's going to work on our behaviors, maybe our relationships. He's going to work on our motives. He's going to snip those little thorny parts off that need to be clear so we can bear more fruit. You know, we ran into a lady on our trip out to Oklahoma who was just upset as all get out that people would still say, even though she's a Christian, that she was committing sin. And that when people brought up the Word of God to her and pointed out, this is what the Word of God said about sin, she was all complaining that we were condemning. It's not what we're doing. The Word of God convicts. The Word of God is useful, the Scripture says, for correction, for reproof, for discipline and instruction in righteousness. Just when you become a Christian does not mean you get to stop listening to the Word of God. In fact, that's when God's going to work on you more through His Word. He's going to identify those things in your life that do not help the production of fruit. He's going to identify those things that are inhibiting His production of fruit through you. And He's going to snip those away. He's going to prune them. So fruitful branches are pruned. Don't think that you're kind of in a get home free or what is it, get out of jail free card situation when you've become a Christian. God will work on you. He will sanctify you. He will work to make you more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And He has to eliminate some of those things in our lives that simply don't belong. So that's a fruitful branch. You're still pruned. Third group that Jesus describes over here in verse 6 is that unattached branches are doomed as they are cast out and withered. Verse 6 says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Very tough words again. Jesus says, if you're not abiding in me, how do I know you're not abiding in me? Because you're not producing godly fruit. So what are we going to do with those branches? We're going to take them, we're going to cast them out, and we're going to put them in the fire heap and burn them. Does that sound harsh? Kind of does to some people, but understand what Jesus is saying. He said this in Matthew 13 also. He said, "So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." He will greet people that day who will say, "Lord, Lord, look at all the good stuff we did in your name. Look at all the miracles we performed. Look at all the demons we cast out. Look at all the good stuff." And He will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You never abided in me. We never had that relationship that it takes in order for you to be saved." It's a warning against thinking that we're doing good when we're not. It's a warning about truly putting our trust in Him, living our lives completely dependent upon Him. I want you to keep that imagery of the vine in your mind, because if you think about that vine drying up, as dry as it is here now, the vine starts to dry up. What's going to happen to the fruit? It's going to wither and die if it doesn't get water. What if it doesn't get nutrients from the soil? Same thing. We have to pull from that vine. And if we are not in that vine, if we are not attached to that vine, we're not connected to that vine, then we are not going to be able to produce the fruit. God will not do it through us if we are not connected to Him. But number 4, if we are attached to the vine and we abide in Him and He's in us, we will bear much fruit to the glory of God. Look in verse 7, He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." That's one of the benefits. "And then by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." He's talking about a relationship where you are so close that you can ask what you want in His name, because you're going to be praying according to His will. And when you pray according to His will, it's going to be done. So this kind of life is only there when we live in Christ. It's only there when we let Him work through us, when we surrender ourselves, when we put aside all those things, those prior behaviors, those works of the flesh, those fruits of the flesh that were ruling our lives before we became Christians. It's only going to work if we surrender to Him. The branch here doesn't fight back against the vine, does it? You ever seen a branch fighting back against the vine? No, doesn't work. The vine simply gives its power to the branch. The branch just carries it on along and produces the fruit. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do today. He's calling us to draw our strength, our guidance, our, way of life from Him. He's calling us to spend time with Him, to do the things that He commands. We've already seen in some of these if-then studies, if you are my disciple, you will keep my commandments. He says, if you're truly in me, then your life is going to be bent on keeping my commandments. Yeah, you may sin every once in a while, but it's going to be much more hurtful to you than it was before, and you're going to repent of it so much quicker than you did before. He says, you come into this relationship with me, and you're going to have peace, joy, you're going to have contentment, you're going to have a relationship that will transcend all these things, no matter what your fears of tomorrow are, no matter what your worries may be, no matter what your losses may be, that kind of relationship will prevail. And you will produce fruit. And as you notice what he said in Matthew, some 30, some 60, some 100. The average fold production rate when he said that was 8. So you plant seed, you get 8 times that production. Understand what he's saying. You're going to produce fruit as a true child of God that is going to be so much more than you can ever imagine, because it's God producing the fruit, it's not you. Don't put limitations on God. You know, Isaiah prayed one day, Isaiah chapter 49, he's praying, he says, God, let me be a prophet to your people. I want to bring your light to your people, the Jews. And God's response was, you think too small. You're going to be my prophet to the Jews and to the Gentiles. You're going to take my word all across the world. Don't hem God in. Let Him work. Y'all ever planted a tomato plant that just produced all year long and you got great tomatoes all through the season? Nobody? Okay, a couple of people. Man, y'all are bad gardeners. But, you know, when I plant the tomato plant, it dies. I'll just tell you. When I plant the air fern, it dies. But there are some people that have that knack, that they can plant, you know, the green thumb. They'll plant the fruit and boy, it grows. That sap goes through whatever it is. That's the way God is. He's the master gardener. He's the master vine dresser. He's the master vineyard keeper. And He's going to groom that plant, that vine, that branch, that fruit in a way that will glorify Him beyond what we could ever expect. Because He knows what can be done through each and every one of us. So my questions to you today, are you abiding in Him? And are you producing fruit? Are you producing godly fruit? Jesus says, you better take a look at it. Because if you're in the branch, if you think you're connected and you're not producing fruit, there's a problem. If you're in it, you're connected, and you got some things in your life, be ready for pruning. We should appreciate the pruning, not resent it. Appreciating the pruning is us understanding that God is correcting those problems in our lives so that we can produce more fruit for His glory, so that He can produce more fruit through us for His glory. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful for the opportunities that He gives us to be fruitful. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you cannot be abiding in Him. You've heard today the dire remedy that exists for those people who do not abide in Him. They will be taken out and they will be cast into the fire. Nobody wants that. Jesus said, you come, you live in me, and let me live in you. We do that by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, by confessing that He is the Lord and Savior, and by believing that God raised Him from the dead. That's it. If you do that, then you become a child of God. If you do it from your heart, then you start living a life where God uses you for His glory, and He is going to produce fruit through you for His glory. And yes, He'll prune you. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He disciplines. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You this morning for Jesus' very simple story, but boy, it carries so much truth and so much weight. Father, I pray that each one here ask ourselves if we are abiding in Him, Father. And if we are not, I pray that we confess that. We let You prune us to get rid of those things that are keeping us from abiding in You. Father, that You show us through Your Word how we are to live. Use it for reproof, correction, and discipline, Father, and instruction in righteousness as You say You will. Father, show us what it is to be in Your will, Father, and I pray that each and every one makes that commitment today. Father, if there's someone here who's not made it, I pray that you draw them to you, that you show them that they need you in their lives, that they need this abiding relationship in order to be with you, in order to be saved. For those of us that have put our faith in you, Father, I pray that we would not resist the pruning, that we appreciate it, we look forward to it, actually, and that we learn from it, that we see each and every lesson that you have for us as you prune us, as you teach us, as you sanctify us, as you make us more like your Son. Father, I pray that you have your way during this time of invitation, that your will be done, that you draw people to you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.